When you think about the scale of humanitarian need in the world today, about 135 million people who have some form of need, 93 million people who have emergency need tonight, it was really important that we together understood what differences we needed to make in order to have the greater impact. And that's where, when you ask the question, what's made the difference, we have an agenda for humanity. We have over 3,000 commitments to action. But the real issue has been the changes that are being made within the humanitarian response owners, the stakeholders, in having a new way of working, that we really do work across the various organisations, not just up and down silos. This makes an enormous difference.
You talked about the new way of working. Can you explain it more for us, please?
Of course, this does not just apply to the United Nations, both the emergency relief coordinating capacity, but also to all the agencies who are delivering on the ground to people in need, whether it's food, blankets, shelter, medicines, water wells, health, sanitation, hygiene. All these things really matter, but so do livelihoods. And so we need to work very carefully across all our organisations and beyond with the international as well as the local NGOs and private sector partners, wherever we can get good, safe access in line with humanitarian principles, means we can reach people in need. But above all, it does mean this joint working, this new approach of coming together to really show how we have joint programming over multi-years so that we have joint financing. And this really makes a big difference. It's quite a challenge to the previous way of working, but it's a new way of working which we know is going to create a higher impact with the very precious resources which we all have to spend so much time seeking to secure in order through the good work of so many very skilled and brave aid workers in all their various ways can come together and embrace other forms of working, such as with the World Bank.
What are the other priorities left from the first humanitarian summit?
So we've got this platform that we have created, an online platform, for all these commitments to action to support the big five areas of the agenda for humanity, which if we get all five right, then we will be doing our very, very best in the world for us to be able, as world citizens, to support people in need whenever that need arises, just as you and I would expect to be supported. And those five are that we should be much better at preventing and resolving conflict, that we should make sure there is real compliance with the laws and principles and norms of international humanitarian law in particular, but also human rights law and refugee laws and protocols, that we should be seeking to reduce the needs, so that means that we have to have this new way of working to ensure that we have a real sense of being able to come together to reduce the needs over time, that we have a humanitarian financing approach, which is really important, and that we have this ability to reach across all the humanitarian actors and put them at the heart of delivering for people so that the affected people themselves are driving the necessary change and the demand. And so it becomes less what we can give and more how they can demand rightly what is received to best support them in going forward, both for survival and thriving.
When we asked our followers on our social media for one question to ask you during this interview, many of them wondered why the UN isn't doing enough in countries like Syria and Yemen. What would you tell them?
Well, I think very often those questions are a reflection of the frustration that there is this unresolved, continuing conflict, protracted crisis, when we feel we're in a permanent state of emergency. I wouldn't want anybody to think that what is happening to support people in need in Syria is anything other than absolutely amazing in terms of the over 5 million people reached each month through the most difficult circumstances, where access is often blocked and not permitted, where we can't load the convoys and leave on the trucks all the medical items that we want, they're taken off, where we have to negotiate to get through all the check lines, otherwise, as our very brave truck drivers are leading a convoy of maybe as many as 30, sometimes even 70 trucks, we don't want the sniper to take the shot. So let's be absolutely clear that it's never going to be enough. For as long as there is human suffering and we can't reach every single person, and let's be clear, we never will, because there'll never be completely safe access to all parts when you have continuing conflict, violence and protracted crisis of unresolved conflict. We know that what we're doing in Yemen is insufficient to the scale of the need, where 21.2 million people out of the 26 million population have humanitarian needs today, where we know 14 million are food insecure, 7 million do not know where their next food is coming from, where the most of the need is in the north of Yemen, which is supplied by a port which has been very severely hampered in terms of its capacity to receive the necessary food, the oil that drives the machinery that brings the water out of the aquifer or grinds the grains to, in order to make people have enough food. And these are absolutely vital supplies. But when you recognise that of those 7 million people, we're now reaching 5 million, again, we know it's insufficient, but compared to if we weren't taking the action and how much suffering, how much death, which is totally avoidable, would be taking place, then I think we need to pay recognition to the extraordinary and brave work, the huge amount of resources being made available by the international community in order to support that work,